Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Well, greetings to you from currently overcast Central Florida. It's very nice to be with you. I'm Jeffrey Dardy, and you're tuned in to the Fresh Daily Show. It is our daily bite-sized version of the Christian Whistleblower Show. We just did our two-hour show last night. Check jeffreydardy.com, christianwhistleblower.com for details and the replay of that show. Today, Fresh Daily Show, we're going to bring it in to eschatology, at least as a legitimate science and study in the minds of objective people, driving a stake through the heart of the end time vampires that want to suck your money and keep you frightened, keep you fearful, and keep you in dread as they've got you worrying about what's ahead when you should be celebrating, because it's all a big snare and a racket, what they've got going on. Speaking of snares and rackets, Religion Watch Daily is on my website, and it talks about the snares, it talks about the rackets, various interesting tidbits from the religious world. On today's Religion Watch Daily, we find an adult film star, that's a porn star, who calls pastors visiting her site hypocrites. I don't want to give her name, but she's calling out pastors she says are harassing her through her porn site. And the interesting thing is, a lot of them claim to be evangelizing her through her website. So that's clearly a brand new evangelism initiative where pastors go to porno sites and they evangelize the porn dancers and the porn webcam girls and probably porn webcam boys too, as far as I know. But how funny it is that this adult film star is busting out pastors for visiting her site and trying to witness to her, as she calls it. And even more interesting, I don't know why I find this funny, but I do. She says, "I'm already a Christian. I already live and serve my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Porn is just my job." So that's interesting from several different angles. And then along the same genre, after divorcing a pastor, woman writes erotica for married Christian women. So a woman who grew up in church and was once married to a preacher claims that she has what it takes to save the marriages of Christians who are missing the, quote, spicy stuff, unquote. Wow. Divorced a pastor writing erotica for married Christian women. Can you just imagine some of these preachers' wives reading Christian erotica? And you got to wonder, what is Christian erotica? I would think that it wouldn't have as many cuss words. And, you know, I don't even want to go down that path because you've got different euphemisms and, oh boy, interesting stuff. But Christian erotica available. It's specifically for married Christian women. See, folks, you only hear this kind of stuff here on the Christian Whistleblower. The last Catholic priest in the Antarctic is told he's not needed anymore. Every southern summer for the past 57 years, Catholic priests from New Zealand have packed their warmest clothes and traveled some 4,000 kilometers south to the frozen wastelands of the Antarctic. Well, the folks down in the Antarctic have said, thanks, but no thanks. We don't need any more priests here. So that's interesting. And who knows? Maybe Antarctica saying we don't need any more priests, that might start a trend or something. Wouldn't that be interesting? A priest performs an exorcism from a helicopter to banish evil from an Italian town where several churches have been robbed and defiled. I don't make these things up, folks. These come straight off of the internet where we know everything's true. But a priest performs an exorcism from a helicopter. A priest performed an exorcism from a helicopter to banish evil from an Italian seaside town, he says, to have been beset with social and moral decay. And interestingly, the priest says, if there is a devil, then he's certainly active in this city. I won't name the city just to spare the people the embarrassment. Wow, interesting stuff. And here's a very good article which had one of the best memes or pictures I've ever seen accompanying it. And it says, How to Lose Faith in Religion, Thinker's Guide to Breaking Free from Belief in God and Dogma. And I especially liked how they led off their story with a quote from Seneca, which says, Religion is regarded by the common people as true, by the wise as false, and by rulers as useful. Interesting words from Seneca. A very interesting article there, How to Lose Faith in Religion, A Thinker's Guide to Breaking Free from Belief in God and Dogma. And that's kind of what we do here. No, I did not write that article, but I am pretty much in agreement with his content, so you might want to check that out. And last but not least, Pat Robertson is not sure why God did not smite the Supreme Court justices for legalizing abortion. I am not sure why Pat Robertson is still on television. I think that they ought to just sit Pat in the studio, point the camera at him, find a way to make the red light go on, and just let him believe he's on television. But don't put him on television anymore. Pat has passed his expiration date as far as being effective long ago. But at any rate, there you go, Religion Watch Daily. If you haven't been to the website in a while, a lot of great new stuff. We're talking about spirit. We're talking about politics. We're talking about culture. We're talking about life. We have a fantastic new shop with all kinds of really cool and useful stuff in it. Great original design, tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts, really good high quality stuff. Also sent over to the UK and Europe at very reasonable rates. We also have the books, including the New Serpents and Doves ebook, of course, Apostle Paul, Antichrist, and the Diamond New Testament as well. A couple other ebooks, Rocket Man, The Crazy Life and Works of L. Ron Hubbard, and The Spiritual Wisdom of Napoleon Hill. Helping you to unindoctrinate yourself and get some good stuff into your brain as you unindoctrinate yourself. That's what we're here for, to help you indoctrinate yourself. And speaking of unindoctrination, we've been talking about how the whole genre of eschatology got started because Paul was trying to divert attention from the fact that he was being called out, Apostle James, and the other apostles in Jerusalem. So he didn't want people to pick up on that. So he was the proper language there. He was involved in creating a diversionary tactic to keep people from realizing that the apostles in Jerusalem were busting him out. So he created eschatology. We saw that Paul preached against those folks that are saying peace and safety. Let's just run over that again real quickly. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, say that five times fast, chapter 5, verse 3, for when they preach, it's a preached message, when they preach peace, who was Yeshua? He was the Prince of Peace. What did Yeshua say he left with us? Peace that passes all understanding. So the they, peace, is very plain and clear that the they that were preaching peace were the apostles in Jerusalem. And Paul says that they're preaching this peace, but unexpectedly ruin, doom, destruction, and death is going to come upon them. This, the guy that was maiming, killing, arresting, burning, looting the believers' homes and synagogues, says, yeah, they're preaching that peace stuff, but wait until I bust out all over them. You see how you understand things in a much different light when you understand them the way that they were revealed and in the order in which they were revealed? It's night and day, my friends. Paul was saying, yeah, go ahead and preach your peace, but I'm coming for you. I'm going to rape. I'm going to kill. Rape, I don't know if he raped. I'm going to kill, burn, slash, destroy, whip, murder, drag into court all these people that are preaching peace. He promised it, and the Bible shows that he did deliver it. Remember, John 14:27, what's Yeshua called? The Prince of Peace. Five times in 1st and 2nd Peter and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the message of Yeshua is proclaimed to be a message of peace, bringing peace of mind, bringing spiritual assurance. So who is the they that are preaching peace? Yeshua, Peter, John, the apostles. They're preaching peace just like Yeshua did. Yeshua preached peace. So Paul's not talking about somebody at the end of time that's going to be preaching peace and safety, everything's okay, peace and safety, and then sudden destruction is going to come upon the world. Folks, that's called a lie. Folks, that's called a deception. Folks, that's called a delusion. Folks, in the Greek, they call that baloney. You know, baloney, bogus, bupkis, BS. It's eschatology, which means we made stuff up and hope you don't notice. Really means study the end times, but I'm showing you, teaching you, telling you, allowing you to see that eschatology is nothing but a farce, and seeing things like this should lead to the end of eschatology as a legitimate intellectual undertaking. Peace and safety, then sudden destruction is not end time prophecy. It's early New Testament history. The apostles of Yeshua were continuing Yeshua's message of peace, safety, and security in the message of Yeshua. And Paul said, go ahead and preach your peace, but I'm coming for you. I'm going to bring sudden destruction upon you. That is the chronological, that is the textual context of this verse. So the end of eschatology as a legitimate intellectual understanding. And not to mention, Paul says that, hey, look, you're preaching peace and safety right now, but sudden destruction's coming upon you. Not only was he about himself bringing sudden destruction upon countless believers, but this was AD 50-ish. Paul already knew that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. He knew because his family was a big tent builder for the Roman legions. I'm sure they had been ordering tents, ordering facilities for the siege. And Paul knew that the destruction of Jerusalem was coming. And he was just baiting them, saying, look, you're preaching your little message of peace and security, but sudden destruction is coming upon you, both in my person and in the person of Rome to come. So Paul the Roman knew, and now so do you. Peace and safety was the message of Yeshua and the apostles, without a doubt. Sudden destruction was visited upon them, preached that message by Paul, without a doubt. And sudden destruction came upon the people that preached that message at the destruction of Jerusalem, without a doubt. I just love it when a plan comes together. I love it when the Bible comes together and you're able to see clearly that you've been lied to, cheated on, and hoodwinked for 2,000 years. You've been lied to, cheated on, and hoodwinked for lo now these 2,000 years, and it's time to wake up and understand that is the case. Let me read you a verse from the Old Testament. We're going to read Isaiah chapter 52 as soon as I find it. And we're going to read verse number 7. Isaiah 52 and 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringing tidings of good, that establishes salvation. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him that brings a message of peace. Unless, of course, you're Paul and you say that peace is a message that needs to be destroyed. Folks, how much plainer can I make it? I am here to help you unindoctrinate yourself. I'm giving you information that should cause you to unindoctrinate yourself enthusiastically. 2 and 7 is the opposite of Pollyannity. It's the opposite of Christianity. And that's what I've been telling you for a long, long time. Paul started a faith that was antithetical to the faith of Yeshua. You can believe it if you want, but you have the right to know what the man did. And that's what I'm here to do, is show you, tell you, teach you, give you the information that will allow you to make a fully informed decision as to what you want to do with your own spiritual life and your own spiritual vitality. I want to talk about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about this rapture event that Paul created in 1 Thessalonians in response to James outing him in effort to cause a diversion that would direct attention from him and from the fact that the apostle that Yeshua left in charge was telling everybody that he, Paul, was a false apostle. And we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." We're talking about that rapture that he was preaching. And then he says in verse number 3, "Don't let anyone deceive you, for that day," that day refers back to verse 1, verse 2, the coming of plastic Jesus and our gathering together unto him. "Unless that day won't come, except there be a falling away first, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." We've shown that the plastic Jesus coming that Paul talks about is a bogus, is a manufactured event. I believe it's two events, the coming of Jesus and our gathering together to him. My money's on two future false flags. Either way, Paul here is still focusing on the future in blatant violation of Yeshua's plain teaching that there won't be any future events and there won't be any signs that are observable. But he says that day of the coming of Jesus, this rapture that I've invented, that day won't come except. That observable coming won't come. He should have stopped right there because Yeshua said an observable coming won't come. But now we've got an observable event that won't come until another observable event happens. So Paul's double dissing Yeshua's very own words, the event that I invented, when Yeshua said there won't be any events, won't happen until another event happens. Wow. So yet another thing to watch out for, and yet another thing to be in fear of, a falling away first. That day won't come except there be a falling away first. And that the man of sin be revealed. More fear. Literally, and this is very, very interesting, and I hope we have time to get through this today, because this is very interesting, and you got to wonder if the hand of Luke is at work here, and you'll see what I mean. Luke was the scribe for Paul, and I believe Luke wrote a lot of things into Paul's writings that are thinly coded messages to us. And it says that that man of sin be revealed, or to uncover what is hidden. Folks, we're fulfilling prophecy right now. We're uncovering what is hidden. What was hidden? Father Ribera, the Jesuit priest, teaching that this was a future apostasy and the revelation of a boogeyman antichrist, that there has to be a falling away first and the man of sin being revealed. You've all heard it. Most of you believe it, that this means that in the future, there's going to be an apostasy and a boogeyman antichrist is going to arrive. Well, what does the text actually say? It says, unless the apostasy or unless a departure comes first and a man of disobedience be made known to the mind and eyes of the public. The best rendering of this verse is, unless a departure comes and a man of disobedience is biblically exposed, publicly exposed, rather. Unless a departure comes and a man of disobedience is publicly exposed. Future, or is that past? Did Paul not lead a great departure from the teachings of the original Yeshua movement? Did Paul not lead a great apostasy and departure? Was he not a man of sin and disobedience? Folks, the Dead Sea Scrolls identify Paul as the great spouter of lies. Not someday, but yesterday. These words are not future, they're history. There was a departure, a great departure, a great apostasy, if you will, from the teachings of Yeshua. They were led by a man of sin, a man of disobedience, and he was made known to the mind and eyes of the public by the apostles in the first century, and today he's also being made known to the mind and eyes of the public through the work of this broadcast and a select others. I mean, I'm pretty much the only guy that does what I do, and that just kind of is what it is. But Paul led a great departure. Paul was a man of sin. I believe it's a miraculous prophecy snuck into the text by Luke. And then we go on and see that the son of perdition has to appear. This man is the son of perdition. He's the son of destruction, or the son of the destroyer. Paul led a departure. Paul was a man of sin. Paul was a son of destruction. Who was Paul's daddy? It was Rome. Was Rome a destroyer? Who else is Paul's spiritual daddy? Is it not the Lord? We know the Lord's a destroyer. He destroyed the original paradisical earth. Jeremiah 4:23 says, and it was destroyed by the coming of the Lord and his fiery anger. Folks, you're beginning to see that this Lord was the Jesus of the Damascus Road, who birthed Paul, and literally, on multiple branches of his family tree, Paul is the son of perdition. Paul is the son of destruction. Paul perfectly fits this prophecy that was put into his mouth, I believe, by the intrepid apostle Luke. Luke wasn't really an apostle, but you know what I mean. By the intrepid Bible writer Luke, who showed that Paul was a man of sin who led a great apostasy, and he was indeed the son of destruction. folks, these type of things are what are going to lead to the end of eschatology. The end of eschatology as a legitimate intellectual pursuit for anyone with even a modicum of objectivity still remaining in their personality. Folks, this is what we do, making it clear, making it easy, busting out the lies, exposing the distortions, the diversions, and the outright ludicrosities of big-time religion. That's why we're the Christian Whistleblower, because this is what we do. Cliff is going to tell you how you can get in touch with me in between this broadcast and our next broadcast. We do this 3 days a week right here on Blog Talk Radio, and it's also distributed on the Deprogrammed Radio Network. And we encourage you to listen, and we encourage you to open your ears so you can hear, open your eyes that you can see. So until next time, I am Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower, and I'm encouraging you to unindoctrinate yourself.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show, and on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit ChristianWhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.